If you would please, over to Matthew and chapter 10. Matthew and chapter 10. Perhaps we can look to the Lord. And our Father in God, we've opened thy love letter. Spirit of God, it's yours. Yours to full of life. So deliver it to us that we would have the benefits. And our God, we're going to thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Last time we shared on Wednesday in that God, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God makes you a new creature in Christ. And the new creature, a new creation, church, the Jews, and now the church, his body, a whole new entity, a whole new existence. And that relationship causes the believing heart that has received him to be all new. Light is brought into the darkness, and death is brought into the life. And the whole thing changes. Same person, but different. And therefore, that difference needs to be understood and exercised. So having that distinct difference and knowing it, God, and it has to do with your wonderful life, a relationship to Almighty God, to be able to enjoy, we're in his presence, to be able to enjoy his presence. We're in a fleshly body, but we have a body, soul, and spirit in order that we might be saved, to have spiritual life. And that spiritual life, when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, it changes. It may not be a very good illustration, but something. Here's a radio. There's a little radio. The radio has FM. And has AM, I should say. And with that AM, I adjust the tuning and all of that, and bring it in, and I'm able to, now it was designed for FM, even though it has AM. And it's designed for that. So I do a little tweaking and fooling with it, and all of a sudden, AM is still there, but I can tune in FM. FM has always been there. FM's always in the air, but I don't hear it because I can't tune it in. As long as I'm in this earthly body, I can't tune in God. When I come to know him as my Savior, I have a new relationship that causes me to hear and understand something I never could. I'm able to see in the light. I'm able to live in the life. Now, having said, that's what we shared. And we're supposed to enjoy that newness of life, walking in newness of life. We're supposed to enjoy the life that I now have, which is none other than God's life, a unique relationship to go to bed, to get out of bed, to eat breakfast, to go to work, to go to school, to go through hard things, easy things, a unique relationship to another, namely God, so that I can handle all the conditions, whatever they are, within my body or within the world, I can handle them. Now, having said that, well, that's wonderful. But, how rare is it among believers to be enjoying that unique relationship? How distant is it? Therefore, Matthew chapter 10, and picking up, if I may, in verse 16, as you know, we were there, that was the point. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I'm going to send you forth. Now, God, how are you going to send us forth? As mighty warriors, conquerors? But as sheep. I'm going to send you as sheep. The shepherd's going to send the sheep. Where? Into the wolves. Among the wolves. Satanic wolves. Satanic system. That's where you're going to send us. What? As sheep. Well, shouldn't we be have something? As sheep. Now, so therefore, here's this wonderful life we have. But it's not so easy to live this life. All of a sudden, it isn't easy all of a sudden, because the world's the same. The darkness is the same, doesn't change. Evil's the same. My old nature's the same. The satanic system is the same. Everything's the same. It's not easy. God, we're to discover what? Well, the new life we have. Hang on. Go with me, please, over to John, the Gospel of John. Thank you. And may I pick up, please, in chapter 15, John and 15, and may I go over to, you'll pick it up quickly in the light of everything. In the upper room, verse 17, 15, 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. That you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Who do we receive as our Savior? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who's the one that gave us this life and light? He did. Who was the one we received? God. But God, in his awesome creativity, being the creator and the redeemer, is hated. Verse 19. And if you were of the world would love his own, But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Okay. So, God, sheep in the midst of wolves. God, what kind of thing is it? What are you after, God? Chapter 17. And you will notice, if I can, in verse 14, 17, and 14, still in the upper room. I have given them thy word. This is God the Son in his humanity talking to God the Father. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one. That's right, wolves. Wolves in the midst, sheep in the midst of wolves. To be harmless as doves. Harmless as doves, wow. Now God, that's it, And then what are you going to say? That we need to hear that you said it. And you recorded it, so. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. As I was hated, you are to be hated. They didn't change their mind. They don't love light. They hate light. They don't love life. They hate it. So you are going to represent what? Light and life. You're going to represent me. There's no way for you to represent me in this darkness and have the darkness approve and applaud. They are not going to do that. Nope. And by the way, God the Father, in his awesome design of our making, our makeup and being, God, you sent us. As the Father sent me, he said, so send I you. Where's the authority, God, in all of your fullness, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, in all of your fullness, we are sent into the wolves, among the wolves, being hated, being hated. What's the whole point? To keep you from ever enjoying your wonderful being, a new creation, a new creature. So you can't enjoy it. Old things have passed away. When? The minute you got saved. God doesn't deal with them anymore. Everything's become new. Wow! Where is it? That's the problem. Where is it? And why isn't it there so easy? It's true, if you could really get saved, receive the Son, you have to be saved. Now, so where is the problem? Over, if you would, please, to Ephesians. And picking up in Ephesians, and in the light of it, to help us, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead, we were dead, in trespasses and sin. But, before we came to know the Lord as our Savior, before we were a new creature, verse 2, wherein in time past you walked, you had your normal, everyday, 24-hour-a-day life, according to the course of this world, how the world lives, depending on culture, background, whatever the world's doing, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the god of this world, the devil himself, the one who's sending forth the wolves and sheep's wolves, and they do use sheep's clothing. And according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, those that don't believe. You were there. You once were an unbeliever. You once were in darkness. You once were dead in sin. That's what you were. Hang on to that. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation, manner of life, in times past, in the lust at being attached to something, reaching out and desiring and attaching to something, whatever it is. Chapter 2, verse 3. I'll read it again. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we understand that God did something, but we once were in darkness, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For grace are you saved, by grace are you saved. So God, when we were in darkness, a God, you saved us and brought us into light, a wonderful relationship to who you are, and you did that. But we were in darkness. Our old nature's in darkness. The world system's in darkness. Evil, work of the flesh is evil. Mark chapter 7. Evil, and evil within and evil without. That means the absence of good, the absence of God. We got it. We got all the ingredients. Now, the trouble is, you've saved us and made us brand new. What makes us brand new? You do. It isn't something you put in your pocket and you've got newness. No. It's a person. God makes you new. No one less than God, nothing other than God, makes you a new creature. an awesome new person. He is the new in you. So we stop trusting ourselves, and God has done something wonderful for us to save us. So we start enjoying our relationship to God, a person. But in order to enjoy the person, we got to understand we're the old person in the new person, new creatures in Christ. But we're in the world system. Everything is there. So we've got to battle all that. So therefore, hang on, verse 11. Ephesians 2:11. And picking up, if I may, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that you weren't saved, set apart, by that which is called the circumcision, the Jews, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the commonwealth of covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And sliding over to chapter 4. That's our condition. That's what we were. That's our old nature. All that's still true. The difference is the person of Christ in you that took care of that. He crucified it. Crucified you. Set you free from it. It's still there. All of it. In one form or another, it's all there in its rottenness, in the light of God's holiness. Now, chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, no more, walk not as other Gentiles, because you got saved. Gentiles walk in the vanity, the emptiness of their mind, having the understanding darkened, living in the dark, being alienated from the life of God, dark, no light, though through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So therefore, us humans get saved, and we still got all the problems. We're still in the world. Now God, but we have an awesome life that you want us to enjoy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Here, we shared it just Wednesday, you don't have any more life 100 years from now than you do now. When you receive Christ as your life, he is your life. He doesn't grow in life, he doesn't change. Your relationship is to God, and that does not change. Here and there. You have just as much life as you're going to have up there. The difference is you're freed to enjoy it. In the meantime, we have to walk by faith in order to enjoy it. You can't go by sight. The life is just as genuine and just as real, but you've got to look to God to get there. Therefore, God, what have you done in your wonderful thing for us? You have done some wonderful things for us. To what? You're going to put us to the test. You're going to prove us. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get there so you understand. That's our little exercise. Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and remember, people know the difference. They know the difference in that we had the... You got the thing now that people are vaccinated, people aren't vaccinated, people had masks and people don't have masks, and whatever it is, whatever the thing is going, you have this and people have that. They all know the differences. That's right. Everyone knows the differences in the normal realm. They recognize them in some form or fashion. So God, Christians, believers get saved. Are they? And you're doing that in a wonderful way to change them. They're no more in the world. The world hates them. They must see something different to hate them. What is there different to hate? It's you. That's right. Does the world catch the difference? Sure they do, if you're saved. If you're with it. Now, so therefore, Therefore, God and the outworking of all of these wonderful things. Go with me, please, over, in your Bible, trying of your faith, over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And we'll look at a little right in order to see it. 1 Peter chapter 3. The world looks, do they see the difference? Do they see the difference? Are they to see the difference in a believer? Chapter 3, as you know, verse 15. I'll read verse 14 because it puts it together. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. The wolves are very ravenous, and they bite. Verse 15. But sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man, woman, boy, or girl, that asketh you a reason of the hope, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is in you, with meekness and fear. Okay, so the believer is looking to God and to a wonderful Savior, looking to enjoy his presence and looking for his soon return to be taken up. That's right. And the people see the difference because you don't look at the world. You don't look at your life. You don't look at to see a stone marked out there in the funeral, in the gravesite out there. I'm headed for that stone, you see. You don't do that. We're looking to go up. Chapter 4. And if I can, in chapter 4, verse 4. Wherein, I'll read verse 3, in time past of our life, for the time past of our life, many may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, which we just read about in Ephesians, our way of life normally, when we were unsaved, walk in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein, verse 4, they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You don't act like they do. Didn't you enjoy the joke at the coffee machine? You're used to. You don't. You don't. No. You used to say, but you don't. You don't. They see the difference. They see the difference. The difference is you aren't like them. You're not supposed to be like them. Over to chapter 4. Picking up, if I can, in verse 12. Therefore, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. So don't think it, God, I sent you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. So what are you up with? What's it like? This isn't very easy to be saved. People don't like it that I'm saved. My family, I could lose my job. That's right. You lose my relatives, my friends. Yeah. Our Lord Jesus said it in Matthew 10 again. I did not come to send peace into your home. I came to send a sword. Otherwise, all your relationships are like this. And God said, that's all condemned. I got to break you away from the relationship and set you free. Now, so therefore, fiery trial to be put into trial, burning, or putting in trial, like you put gold, silver, metal in the crucible, the fire, and what do you do to melt it? To melt the thing, to get the dross out, to purify it, to see what it is. How much gold is there? How much of this is there? And you got to go and try it and put it to the test. So God don't think it's odd that you're going to through all kinds of fiery test trials. And then you'll keep reading the same, another verb. Beloved, think it not strange, the fiery trial, which is to try to put you to the proof, put you on trial, put you to the proof to see where you are. Why do I need to see where I am? Because I'm not going to start walking by faith, because my normal thing is to walk by sight. And I'm going to retreat, a reverse, back to my normal. I'm supposed to be trusting God and thanking God. But unless I have some exercise to get me out of this rut I'm in, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it. So God, you're going to let me understand. You're trying to get me to what? Understand my unique relationship that I have to you to enjoy it. And therefore, putting to the test, I'm going to have all the... I didn't put you in a little island of somewhere where you're the only one there except the seagulls. I didn't say that. I put you in the middle of the world. I didn't want you. I want you in the middle. I want to be a testimony to them, and I want to do something in you. I want you to discover what it is to be a new creature. That's what I want you to do. So you're going to have to go through the trial, putting to the test. And don't think it's some strange thing when this happens, because it is not a strange thing. It's a needed thing. You need to be put to the proof, put to the proving. There's no question about it. Chapter 4, as we said in verse 12, is a fiery test. It isn't just a normal test, it's a fiery test. Therefore, having said that, fiery test, so God, a trial, Now, James, you're right up there on the front of the apostles and that were there in the after the crucifixion and resurrection. You're right there in the front line doing what you do. Others are going to follow you, but you're right there in the top, up in the front. James, chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, now what did you say? It's all going to say the same. I just want you to see it. And we're going to do it tonight a little better. Remember now, one of the problems is there's a reluctance to believe. People don't want to. What we're talking about now is pie in the sky. And you won't hear it probably in 99% of planet Earth. Any given day, never hear it. No, you won't. I'll bet you. I wish I was wrong. No, you won't, because it isn't there. So there's a reluctance. And then comes along, so people don't want to hear it. And then people get caught up in it. It's a wonderful thing to be a new creature in Christ. It's exciting. There's no question. And you get... I'm going to go for God. I want to know. I want to learn. I want to understand. All of that is wonderful. But that has to be seasoned, because that can't last. Do you understand? I know all the dear our brethren. It's easy to be on fire and then because you're on fire. And it isn't the fiery trial that got you on fire. It's your little heart that want. I had him, you know that. I had years ago, all kinds of things. A dear person that came to know the Lord as a Savior, Roman Catholic, all his life, and lived down south of us. And in the process, he was so enthused, and he ran out and he said, I got it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I'll be saved. And he went and had tracts and everything, like I do, had all those things. And did all those things, and bless his heart, he did them. And he tried, and he went up against Goliath, and he went up against Goliath with his slingshot that had no sling in it, and in the going in a thing, and it just didn't work out. And he got so discouraged. He'd come and tell me, I said, I know, bless your heart, you're trying to help people to understand. But you have to understand what you need to understand, that they aren't always going to be receptive, let alone the rest of it. And anyway, I said, you gotta wait and grow. You gotta balance out. Enthusiasm's wonderful, but it has to get down seasoned. Then you hang in there. Then I'm going. I'm going to go in the thick and the thin, when everything's wonderful and everything's terrible. I'm there. That's what we need to be. And you don't get there cheap. You learn it. And if you want to know about enthusiasm, I had enthusiasm. I don't have it anymore. I don't care anymore about anything. So, in the process. But, do you understand? I know I've been through it. But I didn't quit. That's the trouble. This guy quit. God help him. You got to get seasoned. And then you're steady. That's what I look for. You don't know what I look for? I look for that kind of maturity. I see no enthusiasm, nothing. And then there's enthusiasm, but I got to get that locked in so it's stable. And that takes time. But if you don't hang in there, it won't happen. Do you understand that? I'm trying to admonish you directly here. If you don't let that happen, then you'll never get there. That's what this is. That's a little side thought. Because Anyway, hang on. James, chapter 1. The fiery trial, which is to try you. Verse 2. Brethren, account it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Count it all joy when you fall. It's like if you fall into a sewer, guess where you are? In the sewer. The sewer's all around you. If you go and go into the Joe's Abracadabra bar, if you would, and in there are all the thieves, and you go in, you'll find yourself in the middle of all the bad guys. The ship pulls in. It's in the middle of the COVID in the opening, in the sea opening. That's the word. To fall in. If you fall in, here's the fiery trial. Don't think it's strange. And you fall into it. It's all around you, surrounding you. Therefore, count it all joy, that's what to do. Count it, esteem it, reckon it, joy, what are we going to do? We're going to count it as joy. So, why am I going to do that, God? Now, because why? He said that's the way to do it. What did you say, God? And do you have to turn there, John 15 and that? The Lord Jesus said, among other things, I give you my peace. It isn't your peace. What can disturb God's peace? Lots can disturb us, but it doesn't disturb God's peace in you, does it? John 15, I give you my joy so that your joy may be full. Now, what do you think disturbs my delight in what I'm doing and how I'm doing it? What do you think disturbs it? Nothing. Nothing. That's why. What am I going to do? Count it all joy when you fall, find yourself in whatever you do at any given moment. Count it all joy when you fall into all of these trials, troubles, putting to the proof. Why? Because God said, if you don't do this, you'll not learn to trust me. So you got to get proven. Isn't that how you do it? I was looking at little kids' math stuff, and they had the math thing, you know, the mathematics and stuff, whatever you're doing, reading, whatever you want. And they're learning to read, learning to do the math, and you do the math, eight times something is something, and subtract it and do that, all of that. And you do that and you get the wrong answer. and you get the wrong answer. Well, if someone doesn't help you, you did the wrong thing, didn't you? So someone has to help you what? To learn what you did wrong. So what? That you added up rightly. God, what are you doing? We're trying to live our daily lives, coming and going. That's what we're trying to do. And God said, we aren't coming up with the right answers. We aren't coming up with the right pronunciation. We aren't doing it. God said, I'm testing to get you to what? I don't want you to be. I want you to graduate. I want you to go from the first grade to the second grade to the third grade to the fourth grade, spiritually. I want you to grow. So I'm going to help you. You'll never get there. How you ever get to enjoy? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can't even get to square one in that. So unless I put you through the mill and you start learning, you're never going to get there. So all the wonderful things, the new creature in Christ, how are you going to enjoy it? You don't. It's a lot of stuff you heard on Sunday. It doesn't mean a thing. It does mean something. It's awesome. It's an awesome truth. And we're waiting to what? To go into the fullness of it in God's grace. Therefore, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. All kinds, diverse, all kinds, different kinds of tests, proving, putting to the test, crucible things. That's what we're going to do. And we learn. That's how we learn. That's how we learn. How did you grow up as a little kid? Children. What did you do? Remember what you don't remember? I can just imagine it though, from my own, but not from mine, but from my little kids. And they walk and learning to walk. You remember little babies? Little babies, you have to what? You hold them every second, right? Right. You put them down, pick them up, put them down, pick them up, and pretty soon they are getting a little further along. And then what are they doing? They're discovering what it is to be born physically, aren't they? And they're growing, and they're starting, and they wiggle their little legs, and they get into the crib, shake the crib. That's getting there. Shake the crib, you know, and exercise their legs. And they're getting there. And one day, you have them out now crawling around so safely. And they try to stand and do whatever. And they try to stand and what do? Don't you try to help them? They try to, and you tell them to start. Because what are you looking for? Do you want them to just crawl all the rest of their life? You want them to stand. What are you going to do? As a person, you're going to reach down and try to help them. And the little kids picks up. Isn't that what you? God does that. Don't you understand? God wants you to walk. Walk in newness of life. That's what to do. Walk by faith, not by sight. How are you going to learn to walk? It's there for the little kid, back to the little kid. And the little kid trots along, you know, and runs along. I saw him. I can still see it in my mind. Little kid, I don't know which one it was, running down, the one we lived over here. And the little kid was feeling his Cheerios, I guess, a boy or girl, whatever it was, and went down and did like this, and passed me like this, and ran smack into the doorway, the corner of the doorway. Boom! Went down. And I said, I think you're going to have to practice more. That's what I think. And that's how you learn to walk, isn't it? You fall down, and you get back up. God tests you, proves you, a fiery trial. Count it all joy. Joy for what? What he's after. The little kid, when you were little, did you care about walking like you can now? You didn't even know about it. But boy, you were willing to shoot for it because other people walked around. And you wanted to get walking, and you learned to walk, and you wanted to walk. Would you give up walking now? Some of you, it's difficult. Aren't you glad you can even walk a little bit? Absolutely. God, what do you want? You want us to get something, And when we start seeing it, you won't give it up. And I've got to get, you got to get far enough along that you aren't fighting God on this. You're looking for God to make it happen. And once you get that, you'll never quit. There'll be nothing, anything less than shooting for God's wonderful will in your life will never be less, because that's what you're going to go for till the day you drop dead. That's what you're doing. And you're looking to God, and they're going to do it no matter what condition, even if we can't do anything. Wow. God, I'm looking. Wow. Therefore, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, having said that, the trying of your faith. James chapter 1, verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, putting to the proof, proving it, how are you going to do it? You're going to go through the things. All kinds of, you spill your coffee, you drop stuff on the floor, you forgot to turn off something. There's a thousand ways we realize our human frailty and discover the need to trust God, and that's the whole point. You're learning to trust God. And for those of you who have little children, I remember them. I remember, and I said it, and I lived it once. If glass fell all over the floor or something like that, and the glass fell, could God protect the child in the middle of that? Absolutely. You and I could try to do it, and we should do it. But God can do it without even you there. That's what you want to learn. God protects you like that. That's how God protects you. In the middle of the wolves, in the middle of the broken glass, in the middle of all the lousy stuff, God keeps you. And God's trying to test you, to get you to what? To see, to understand the relationship by testing you, proving you, and you realize your human frailty and faultiness, and it happens. Over, if you would, as I always try to be on time, over to Psalm 66. And we'll see it there. You need to go through the process to get the product. And what we just looked through, I'm telling you, I wish it was common, every believer knew it. I'm afraid that is not going to happen. They don't even know about proving. They read these things. It doesn't mean a hill of beans to them. No relevance. Psalm 66. Picking up, if I may. In verse 5. Come and see the work of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. And he turned the sea into dry land, etc. Went through the flood on foot. And they went through the flood on foot. There did they rejoice in him, etc., etc. Looking to the joy that sat before me. Counting the joy that is set before me. Verse 10. Oh, no, verse 9. While he holdeth our soul in life, he suffereth not our feet to be moved. God's going to keep us. Verse 10. For thou, O God, hath proved us. There's your little word, proved, to put to the test. Proved us. Thou hast tried us. There it is. Boy. Proved, tried, put, tested. Like the crucible, like the metals, etc. As silver is tried. God, you did that. Now, what was the result? What was the result of the exercise? Verse 11. Thou broughtest us into the net. God, you could have kept us from all of this world, wolves, bad things. You didn't. Family, friends, enemies? No, you didn't. Fiery trial, we wish we weren't there. We're dropped into one thing after another. Verse 11, thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. And we'll see that tonight a little better. God, you let all of this happen? I did. I let it happen. And verse 12, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire, fiery trial, and through the water, but thou brought us out into a wealthy place, saturated place. In other words, we're in the long desert with no oasis to see, nothing. And oh God, you did what? You let us trod through that dry, deep, heavy, hard, hot. To what? To get to the wealthy place where the water is. Where is the water, God? It's in you. He is the water of life. He said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the water of life. If you drink of me, you'll never thirst. Never. What are you trying to do, God? To get us into the wealthy place, the wet place. That's what you want, to get us there. Well, we aren't going to, it doesn't come cheap. No, you have to overcome your dumb old nature. No offense to you dummies. Understand. God has to help us. And we have to realize that. The little kid won't fight you about walking. No, I don't, that's rare. They want to learn. They want to get there. And they got a little oomph to try to keep doing it. That's what you need to keep having all the way till you're 50 years old. And then at 90 years old, you're still doing it. Therefore, Psalm 66, if I can, verse 13, I will go into the house with burnt offerings, sacrifices. I will pay my vows. I'm a living sacrifice unto God, that we are. Sliding down, God, what's gonna come of this exercise? Verse 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I'm gonna help you. Now, you have a testimony then, a real testimony. You don't walk around waving it in the air. You just have it. You're a real, for real person. You're for real. I can touch you. You're real, not make-believe. Wow. Verse 17. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled, lifted up, exalted, with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. And we shared mercy a while back, the indispensable necessity, mercy, that keeps us 24 hours a day in the light of our old nature and its misery. God, thank you. Proven, put to the test. That's awesome. And you have to get proven. That's what I'm trying to help you understand it, so you understand the process. So you aren't stupid about the process. Now, if you don't go through the process, it won't happen. It's God's recipe. And you follow the recipe and it works. Our Father and God, thank you. Thank you for your word, your work, your grace. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Spirit of God, honor. honor your word. Help us understand the working. God, put this together for us more and more, for better and better. And our God, we're going to thank you. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, that they might receive you, God, and make all of the new creature, new being a new creature, become theirs, their personal possession, their personal property, to be part of your wonderful, wonderful person. And our God, we thank you very, 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 very much. In Christ's name, amen.